Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe as they get you geared up for Pats and Bengals. Patriots.
In the middle of the end zone for the touchdown. Tom Brady.
Bengals.
Hickson up the middle. Touchdown. Cincinnati.
Now broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston, it's NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance, with Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
Here we go. It is week 15 in the NFL, and this is NFL Sunday. Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy coming to you from our Best Yet Studio in Brighton. The 10-3 Patriots visiting the 1-12 Cincinnati Bengals, the worst team in the NFL. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
And the first selection goes to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they select quarterback out of LSU.
Joe Burrow? Heisman winner,
you're
Joe
going
Burrow.
Joe Burrow?
Last night? There's nothing more predictable than that. It's not even close.
Would they be tempted to take Chase Young?
Ooh.
No. They need a freaking quarterback,
yeah,
and that's it. They need a quarterback.
Chase Young is a beast.
Andy Dalton's your guy. What do you mean they need a quarterback?
Listen, he's playing for a new contract. I mean, he's still my guy, but
he's not going to get his money there. He's not going to get his money there, Christian. He's going to be the Patriots' new quarterback next year.
Well, that's fine. I'll take – hey, listen, as far as a stopgap quarterback goes, that's exactly what you'd be looking for.
Joe Burrow has better wide receivers at LSU, I think, than he would at Cincinnati.
You know, it's funny. It's a great point because I was sitting there going, wow, if anyone's going to be ready – like he'll end up going to a team where the receivers are worse, his timing's going to be off, not because he's slow, because the receivers are slow.
No,
he's
like,
not used to that
guys?
Slow transition.
That was like when Robert Griffin III came out. And
right.
You're like, but it's better offense at Baylor.
Right, because you got to understand, Joe Burrow had two receivers that had 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, Moss's kid at tight end wasn't bad.
They have three guys that are probably like NFL-type receivers, you know, mm-hmm. And that was
the running back was pretty good. The little short running back that they had was pretty good. Like I said, Moss's kid at tight end made some catches. I mean, granted, it looks like he's running in quicksand. I mean,
which is bizarre, isn't it?
It's very strange.
One of the fastest receivers ever. That his son is like this.
It
like
doesn't
a plodding
necessarily
tight end.
Translate though.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes the opposite way though. Sometimes it goes like because I was slow as hell.
Yeah,
and my son is fast. So I'm like, hell?
Yeah. So it could change on you a little bit. Fourier, it's usually the Scoops Fourier Sunday news drop.
Right. It's got to be something. Still early though.
Do you have anything for Bengals week, or is this sort of a slow week?
No, I mean, I got some, a little bit of chirping about Edelman as far as how badly hurt he is. And, you know,
what about Spygate 2.0?
No, hold on. God. So, how hurt is Edelman? Because Curran, he was on with us a couple of Wednesdays ago.
He said he has a giant knot.
His shoulder's like disgusting, apparently. It looks like a small head growing off.
Yeah, but that's, you know, Wiggy, that's like usually, that's an AC joint sprain.
Yeah, I sprained my AC joint. I played
that shoulder. I've done it like maybe 8 times. I've had 4 surgeries, 2 on each shoulder. But that thing kind of pops up.
Yep.
So is that one that you guys play through, and then when the season's over, you get the surgery?
Yes.
Or
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
some guys need surgery,
some guys don't.
Yeah.
I knew he was hurt, but it was what I've heard is that, I mean, the treatment on this guy has been next level as far as 3 times a day and just raping. And I thought there may be a knee, but I can't confirm that. Some sort of tendonitis, but who knows?
Would you sit him out today?
Yeah, I would.
So would I.
Wow.
I would.
Yeah, I would.
I'm with you completely.
And I got a bunch of reasons why, which that makes sense.
Let's hear it.
But it's just so hard, though, when you're in a position, if you're the Patriots, where every game is so critical. Not that they'll lose to the Cincinnati Bengals.
They can't lose to Cincinnati.
Right, but your offense.
Cincinnati won't allow that to happen.
Your offense without Julian Edelman. We've seen them play without Mohamed Sanu and Philip Dorsett, and you still had Edelman who carried
but
you.
But don't you think they could still win like 10-0? Like, they don't need Edelman.
But
tonight.
What happens?
No.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
You play without Edelman, and it gets to one of those games where it's, say, 3-0, 6-0, because you're offensively struggling.
Yeah, okay.
And they get a last-second cheesy touchdown, and end up winning the game 7-6.
If you can't beat Cincinnati without Edelman, then what does it really matter? You can't win a playoff game.
Because without Edelman, he's your best offensive player.
But the defense might score today.
What if your defense doesn't score with James White? They have trouble moving the ball when Edelman's there.
No, I know. But, I mean, I feel like for
the
long term.
Why put yourself in that position?
But I think you'd be better off for next week against Buffalo or come playoff time. Now Julian Edelman, obviously he's not going to be 100%, but he'll be closer to it.
But let me ask y'all something. Don't you think you run the risk if you sit him in the sense that if you stumble, now that Buffalo
you're going to stumble.
Well,
you're stumbling either way.
So you think they would – you think they would lose for you or just be
no,
ugly?
No, no, no. I don't think they're losing this game. First of all, the Cincinnati Bengals are not going to screw around and allow themselves to be in a position not to have the number one pick. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many vets are on that defense. I don't care how much pride they have in themselves. I don't care how many plays Dalton wants to make to prove to other teams that are going to hire him in the offseason that he's legit. It's not going to happen. They're not going to lose the first-round pick.
Yeah, but now, isn't that on the team, Christian, though? Because you as a player, you know, you've played on bad teams before where you didn't sit there and go, oh, it's what draft pick we get. And you're just out there playing.
Agreed, 100%. And I would say, hell, I've been in those positions where I'm like, well, listen, I don't care like what the team wants to do. I'm a free agent. I gotta show up. You know, I need to get some catches out there, some blocks out there. But they will manipulate it. Can you even imagine with the fact that Joe Burrow could be the next greatest thing at quarterback as far as being polished with not a but – I mean, just flat out shows every last thing. Mm-hmm. We're talking since Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, those type of guys. Not the Robert Griffin III's where you're like, I don't know what this guy is. He's a project. We have to change. No.
Right. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray.
You put this guy in there
different.
Right away.
Right.
And he plays, right? There's no decision. He gets it. He's in a pro-style offense. LSU finally got rid of that bogus, crappy offense that Les Miles just handed off to your backs, handed off to the backs. They hired a pro coach, an offense coordinator. They ran a pro style offense. They have pro players.
Right.
I mean, Alabama will be doing this next year. Watch. They're going to copy LSU. But the fact is, this guy is ready to go right now. Doesn't even need to sit out. I don't see them. If they did, they're just dumber than I thought.
And on top of it, too, for you, your point, I think, is further backed up when you look at that they have a rookie head coach who is an offensive guy. He's supposed to be a quarterback guy. So it's one thing if you have a veteran coach who's like, screw it. Like, I probably, they don't have a guy who's going to get fired.
You still know as a Cincinnati Bengals, right? You still know that you have a 2-game lead.
No.
Yeah.
Do they have the tiebreaker? What's the tiebreaker with the Giants?
But the Giants, hear me out. The Giants, they have their quarterback in Daniel Jones. You know they're not taking Joe Burrow.
Right, which would mean that they would trade the number one pick.
Well, would have to. Miami would be the only team that would potentially leapfrog you. They're one game behind.
No, but I'm saying the Giants are 2-11. So even if they don't take Joe Burrow, they would trade it because that would be a high commodity. Like they could trade it for multiple firsts to somebody else.
You would think that you would have to ask if the Giants would want to trade for, you know, trade that pick.
Yeah.
Or if they would say, you know what, we could get a guy like Chase Young who. You got a guy on defense that can, you know, change the face of your defense offensively.
Not as much as the quarterback.
Yeah. No, but they already have their quarterback.
Oh, you're talking about the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants. If they end up with the number one overall pick and Cincinnati ends up 2, because Cincinnati has one loss and the Giants have 2. So let's say that.
Yeah, I just don't think you want. I don't think you don't want to allow some other team to have all that leverage over you.
Yeah, you don't want to play
spending
that game.
More.
So
you
then why put
capital.
Andy Dalton back in then? Because they've been playing well since Andy Dalton got back in there.
I just think Ryan Finley wasn't even like close.
But if you know,
and he's not the future.
But if
either,
you
maybe.
Know, if it, to go to Christian's to go to Christian's point, if you know that you want to be the number, you want the number one overall pick.
Him,
why not just sit Andy Dalton going? Listen, if we put Andy Dalton in, there's a chance. Like they just beat the Jets two weeks ago.
That's true. That seems
a
little odd.
We keep the other kid in there. Now we know we're not going to lose, and we'll be able to have the. We know we're not going to win, and we'll keep the number one pick. So. Why put
they pulled Andy Dalton because they realized at that point in time it was all about the future. So they need to find out what Ryan Finley was all about. He was freaking horrendous, like terrible. They had the bye week. They go through a bunch of issues. Everybody's chirping. All the players are pissed off. They don't know what they're doing. The bye week comes around. After the bye week, they start playing better.
Yeah.
They still don't get any wins, but they play better, and everybody's happy, and Andy Dalton's playing better. So –
But I mean, why put him in there if you want to keep – because by putting Andy Dalton in there, it gives you a better chance of winning.
But Finley was also –
I think you can do both.
I mean, and we saw it here with Stidham. If you take a quarterback in the fourth round, it's confusing, isn't it? Like, is he your future quarterback? Is he just depth? Like, what is it? Like, if
no,
it's
I, don't
or second
four, I don't think a fourth-round quarterback is your future
probably
quarterback.
Probably not, right? I mean, like, Dak Prescott's a fourth-rounder, mm-hmm. and –
Well, that's like
is
a
is that it? Like, it's hard. So I don't think when they drafted Ryan Finley, it was – well, he's going to be in there in no time. They eventually went to him like, eh, he's not really it. Their next guy is like what Fourier said to start. It's going to be Joe Burrow. So they have three games they get to make sure that they don't, you know, I don't know what the tiebreaker is with them and the Giants, but they just need to make sure that they hold on to the number one pick. And maybe
so then
try
why not keep Finley in there?
I don't know. Would there be like an all-out mutiny in there? I don't know.
I think that's what it was, though. Yeah. I think that was key based on what I've heard and read. That there was, it became an all-out mutiny. The guys, the vets on the team, and there's a lot of them, where it was a lot of in-house fighting. There was a lot of questioning the coaching decisions. It was just a lot of, you know, come-to-Jesus moments where I think they were just embarrassed by what was going out there. So Finley had his chance. He looked like crap, and I think they put Andy Dalton in. They're still pretty bad, though.
They are bad. I mean, but they also, and I remember Dalton being pissed about it because they benched him like the day after the trade deadline. And he even came out, right. The guy doesn't say anything. And he was like, yeah. If you're going to bench me, like, why couldn't you have at least worked a trade? Like, I want to play.
Right. And it was actually an hour before that trade deadline where he came out and said
that.
But here's the thing, right?
And then they put Finley in against his first game was against Baltimore. Right. Like, so what are you doing?
Here's the thing. If you're playing, if you're Cincinnati, you're playing against the Patriots, you're playing better. You just beat the Jets a couple weeks ago. Now, who knows what their thought process is down there? They might, you know, guys might, like Christian said, some guys are free agents. They're playing hard because they want to get their money. There's probably a handful of guys in there who go, listen, you know what? I already got my money. I'm trying to get out of the season safe and not get hurt. I don't want to be having a rehab all season. So you get some of those guys who might be like, all right, I'm going to kind of ease off the gas. But the problem is you can't ease off the gas against the Patriots because the Patriots are trying to win. It's one thing if it's two crappy teams playing against each other. You can kind of work with that guy on the other side of the ball, say, hey, you watch my legs, I'll watch yours, and let's make this thing look good here.
The Bengals are just so bad offensively, but no matter who the quarterback is.
Well, no, I'm not.
They've scored over 20 points twice.
Right, but when
once in a loss and then one in their only win against the Jets. So I just think against this Patriots defense,
I think the defense
I mean, like a shutout is definitely in play. Like
I think
like
the defense is
six,
fine,
seven?
But to sit Edelman.
Yeah, I think you're going to look
have,
big, I think
you have no
look,
offense.
Well, maybe you have an opportunity to develop some. Maybe now Brady's forced to
what?
How about N'Keal Harry? You guys giving up
are we
on him?
Are we still going down this N'Keal Harry road?
I did not expect it to work.
I agreed with Fourier a couple weeks ago. I no longer agree with him.
So you think
which one?
He's
N'Keal
part?
Harry is
Dunsky?
He's Dunsky.
No, he can't be.
He is.
Did you hear what Josh McDaniels said? I mean, if you look at what they gave him, and I've been saying this all along, creative plays, one option type play. So what did they give him last week? They held on to this play forever till the second half. They run it. It's a backside, basically a submarine play where he's coming all over. He's a monster with the football in his hands. Monster. You can't tackle him. He seeks out contact and he's fast and he's strong. So you see that, you go, damn, like why did I wait so long? There'll be more of those. There'll be design plays that get him the ball and just let him be an athlete. I think they recognize that. Fly sweeps, missile screens, put him in the backfield, give him a flare route. I don't care what it is. Just get the ball in this dude's hand.
Yeah, but think about
let
that.
Let him wreck fools.
Think about that play. We talk about that play. Yes, it was good when he finally caught the ball. But the beginning of the play, he didn't know where he to line up. Brady was telling him where to go, and then he's kind of going in motion before Brady sends him in motion. So when you think about, yes, if you start to want to do some creative things with him, the problem is, how much of that is he going to pick up? He struggled just to be able to line up on one side of the field, run a short motion, go across the formation, and catch the ball where he struggled prior to that. And so if you're saying Josh McDaniels wants to do some things, I just think with N'Keal Harry, I don't know if you could trust him to ultimately know the playbook the way that even if they simplify it for him.
He played two plays. So what does that tell you last week?
Right.
Two snaps.
Right.
I mean, that is, and for an offense that's struggling, you know, he's been back now a few weeks, right? And he gets two
Why
snaps?
Only two plays?
That's Because they don't think
well,
he knows.
Well, they
want
a
right?
lot of two tights. Definitely, they want a ton of two tights.
But they don't think you don't think they think.
I don't think they think he knows.
He knows it.
Everything.
So he's got to go.
I know they know they don't. He doesn't know it. So I know it for a fact.
So then why would you?
He doesn't know the playbook.
So now why would you sit Julian Edelman? Because now you rather now you got to go from two plays to 60 plays, and if he doesn't know the playbook that well.
Yeah,
it's not a good look.
I think because I think if you're really serious about this, you need to start making strategic decisions and take some calculated risk. And I think this is the week to do it. So think about it this way: say they take a risk and say they lose 10-3, and it's ugly because it will be ugly even with Edelman in there. But it'll still be ugly. Then the next week he comes back and listen, we just need you for one game, all right? And then depending on what the records are of other teams, maybe that last game against Miami is irrelevant. You send him again. Then he gets another week because you have a bye. Do you think they need to really somehow preserve him? And the other thing is, like, telling Edelman to get out of bounds or to go down is stupid.
No, it's not
he doesn't listen.
No.
You know, Welker was the same way. Deion Branch, he's taking a dive. No contact whatsoever. But Edelman is just – he's just wired that way where he doesn't know any better. He can't get out of his own way when it comes to protecting himself. So – and who knows? And maybe he'll probably, you know – still want to be suited up. He doesn't want to miss. But I just feel like, man, if you can get away with it, then I would use it. Or at least limit his reps.
I would 100% try to do that.
I can live with that. I can live with limiting his reps. Take him out on rundown situations where you have him to block only. Put him in there in situations where you know, like, hey, we might need to convert on first downs.
Because, like, think about it. Like, they already are kind of doing that because he's the best punt returner they have. But they're not you know, they're not putting him back there. So it's not like, oh, we got to do everything we can. It's like, no, because otherwise you'd have him return a punt. So you need to take some of it away from him on offense. And that's why I think just take the whole game away from him because you're right. Those plays – We talk about how they might barely be able to beat Cincinnati without Edelman. So that just proves to you that if he does go down or if he's even more banged up than he currently is,
you're screwed.
Forget beating any of the playoff teams.
Right.
Even like forget the Ravens, Chiefs, Texans. Doesn't matter.
You lose one more game, you flip-flop with the Kansas City Chiefs. You end up going in a 3 seed. And now you're playing Wild Card Weekend. Now, granted, it will be at home. But you're going on the road for the divisional and the AFC championship if you're fortunate to get past those. So,
correct.
But if you do lose one more game and then for some reason Buffalo could come in here and beat you, you go from the 3rd seed now down to the 5th seed. So you are traveling every game. You're playing Wild Card Weekend.
They could be a wild card team.
And you're on the road for Wild Card Weekend.
I mean, when was the last time that in the middle of December, like they didn't have the division wrapped up? You know, like this is sort of uncharted territory. And so here they are. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, and they still have the tiebreaker with Buffalo. But still, I mean, that's, I guess, in play. But
for now.
Wiggy would play Edelman. Fourier and I would sit him down. My guess is he plays, though, because earlier in the year, there was not actually, it might have even been the Buffalo game. He was coming off a pretty bad injury. And you're thinking, this could be the game that he sits. And he didn't. And he's just been out there nonstop. And
yeah, because like you can't. He's your only player on offense.
What about your guy Sanu? You wanted Sanu at the trade deadline. You're banging that drum for Mohamed Sanu.
Any chance I can get Emmanuel Sanders?
We need a do-over.
I definitely need a do-over.
Yeah, do-over on
like
that
Superman.
One.
Let's fly around the earth and rewind time so we can go back to the trade deadline.
Better chance of an impact today on the game, Mohamed Sanu or N'Keal Harry?
I'd have to say Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
You got to start force feeding him.
Yeah,
he's the guy. Christian says N'Keal Harry, but I think at the end of the day, Sanu's the guy.
I'm not saying N'Keal Harry is your guy. I'm saying
can he
be part of the group? I mean, he's like he has chicken pox and everybody's he's quarantined.
Oh, let me ask you this then, Christian. If you had to
10 plays?
If you had to and I don't mean like force feed, just throw the ball to him every time. Who do you think they need to get more involved? Sanu or N'Keal Harry?
I think Sanu is a given. So I say N'Keal Harry. I think Sanu is just your borderline average run of the mill slot cornerback that can play Z also. But N'Keal Harry is a freaking specimen, and figuring out with his limited knowledge and expertise, and I think that's key, limited knowledge and expertise, it's going to be a challenge trying to figure out how to implement him into the office without him screwing you. Like that, to me, is it worth it for him to do that, to put all that time in knowing that there's a 50-50 chance, so screw you. And you mentioned it, Wiggy, and I remember seeing it going, this freaking clown He's getting the ball on a designed special play that they've repped 100 times, and he doesn't know where the freaking line up. What are you doing?
That's a bad sign.
You're getting
sign.
The ball. That's There's one freaking option, and you're it.
Yeah.
So I get it, man. Like, but I just feel like you almost – listen, you're both stranded on a freaking – in a rowboat, and each guy needs to grab an oar. And if only one person is rowing, you're just going to go in a circle. Mm-hmm. So you have to force him to row. So, and I don't know, and maybe he's just too dumb to do it. I don't know. Maybe he's a slow learner. I don't know.
And maybe he is, but I think at least his skill set allows – well, again, he would have to know where to line up and know what to do. But it should be different than some of the other guys they have. One of the biggest disappointments I have in Mohamed Sanu, and I knew that, you know, hey, he's a big slot mm-hmm. receiver, right? So just because he's big doesn't mean he's this outside threat or anything like that. But with the Patriots, and I know he was dealing with an injury in there, but even still, in five games – he's averaging 7.5 yards a catch.
Well, think about it.
Like, that's like James White.
He had one target against Kansas City, and he played probably...
He played 59% of the snaps.
So he played more
than... one target, one catch for 13 yards.
N'Keal Harry played two plays and had one catch.
Right.
So when you asked the question moving forward, when I said, which guy do you feel like they got to get going with this offense, or who can be the... Because right now when you look at this offense... Beside, after Julian Edelman and the wide receiver group, who's the next guy?
The wide receiver group, it should be
Sanu. Wide receivers and tight ends.
It should be Sanu, but I feel like he has a low ceiling. And so N'Keal Harry is more of an unknown, and I feel like it's unlikely, but at least there's an untapped potential there that maybe he can make a play. Like the touchdown that he had, the one that actually stood, that was a really nice play. Could you find a way to get more of that?
But think about it. It's probably Jacoby Myers.
Over Dorsett. You've given up on Dorsett, too.
When you look at...
The sad state of affairs here. No, I know. It's just...
That's a hard reality. I was really thought he would... I really thought he was the guy that was going to take the next step. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
He's kind of proved it. He's every time they throw it to him, he catches it. They trust him. I thought he would take a next step. He did not at all. He's been a freaking disaster also. And it's funny, I just want to go back to N'Keal Harry when it comes to when I don't know if you guys saw the quote. I think Mike Reese had it in one of his articles that Philip Dorsett was talking about N'Keal Harry when he kept talking about, you know, he needs to be a pro, he's not in college anymore, you know, he needs to get in his book. This, you know, he just kept reiterating the fact that this is college. I mean, this isn't college.
Yeah,
this is
the
pros.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Philip Dorsett can recognize that he's not doing what he needs to do. Like Philip Dorsett is saying, this guy probably makes the same mistake over and over again because he thinks he's in college. And you know, he's got to get to class. He's got a homeroom. It's like, no, you have nothing else to do but this. So if you make a mistake once, you have all freaking day to study it. So because it's a job now. Oh, this is a job. You're a pro. When I saw that, I was like, holy cow. But he just out him.
When you guys were rookies, or even if you were just in a new offense, like when you left the practice facility, how would you spend your time?
I'd stay in my playbook. Yeah. I would love, I wish in my career, you know, and my career is over and long gone.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to have been in an opportunity like this where I'm on the team and your best player is Julian Edelman and they're saying, please, somebody else.
Yeah.
We're looking for somebody.
Yeah, think about that. You're on a good team, really well coached.
The best
quarterback. Right. And you're just missing that next piece. Like either one of you guys would have been the number two option.
If I was on this team, I could guarantee you
for sure
that I would have 80, 90 catches.
Oh, Lord, please.
I would. I mean, not right now.
No, you would not.
Not now, Christian. I'm not saying right now, but when I was.
What do you mean 48? Come on. You don't think 05
when I was playing,
Jermaine Wiggins.
Yes.
If you took Minnesota
when he was
Vikings,
a rookie?
No. When I was playing.
If you took 05, 06 Wiggins.
Well, I mean,
you
hell, you had 80 at Minnesota. I mean, so fine.
Right.
I'm talking about when you were a rookie.
Well, okay, when I was a rookie, I probably still would have put up good numbers. Maybe not 80, 90 catches, but I would have 50 catches as a rookie.
I think the thing is.
Now he's Zach Ertz.
Yeah. Well, I think of like, because you were just pro ready. when I think
Excellent.
Of, I think it's hard. I think like, when you look at, you can put up numbers, you can get some catches. But when you look at, I look at Jacoby Myers, I go, there's a guy that is making your typical rookie mistakes.
Right.
If he was N'Keal Harry, if N'Keal Harry had Jakobi Meyers, I guess, mental aptitude, mm-hmm. I think he would be making a ton of plays, but he'd still make a bunch of boneheaded decisions because you just don't. You just do. The season's longer. You went through the draft process. You went through the combine. Everything's new. You just get exhausted. So you just start making stupid mistakes. But, I mean, they're few and far between. But still, you're like, dude, okay, next year this guy's good. He's never going to make this mistake again. But N'Keal Harry, you don't even know because he just can't get on the field. So I expect Jakobi Meyers to make a bunch of rookie mistakes.
Yeah, but
mistakes.
The mistakes you should be making, and think about this, right? I don't know about your rookie year, but my rookie year was a little bit different than Jakobi Meyers, right? I wasn't forced into playing action, right? They weren't looking for another option.
Yeah.
Granted, I was still on my playbook, and I was still prepared and ready to go. But if I was in Jakobi Meyers' shoes, he knows that he's going to be playing week in and week out. So he should know the playbook inside and out. Like, I wouldn't be making mistakes on where to line up, when to go in motion, those type of things. Maybe I might make a mistake in, like, oh, I got confused with the coverage running the route. I thought the middle of the field was open, but the last minute I didn't see something.
Yeah, those are because you're young. You know,
right.
You just don't, but you don't have enough reps.
But lining up and knowing where to be in formations and those type of things – those are the mistakes N'Keal Harry making. And as a rookie,
yeah, that's scary.
I wouldn't be making those mistakes because I would know the playbook inside and out. Now, the Jakobi Meyers, when he catches the ball and Julian Edelman's right there, I understand that he just – they probably confused him and he didn't do what he was supposed to do on the right route, and that's why he ends up in that position. And those are the mistakes I think Christian's talking about. But when you see some of the mistakes that N'Keal Harry's making, it's simple, like where to line up.
And I think that probably pisses you off even more. It's like, dude,
yeah.
I can deal with you getting physically beat on a slant route because you're young. Okay, it probably won't happen again. But, dude, if you can't line up, I don't know. I can't work with you.
Yeah, no, and you can understand the frustration for sure.
80, 90 catches, Rich.
No, I don't 80, I got 90. I'd have you on my fantasy 90. Team.
It'd
be the most catches by a rookie at any position.
Man, I'd be leaving the league in rookie tight end catches out of rookies.
All right, we're off and running here on NFL Sunday. You can join us 617-779-7937. Tommy Kern will join us later on in the program as well. We'll also talk a little Spygate, too. Get the sort of the latest or not the latest, I suppose, on that. But it's Patriots-Bengals here today at 1 o'clock. And this is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The message in the locker room is really from the players. This has nothing to do with us. Longtime safety and captain Devin McCourty compared it to Deflategate in 2014. He said, this is completely different. He said, back then, that felt like a direct shot to the players because people felt like that was the reason they were winning on the field. He said, this one is totally different.
B-roll.
Mike Reese talking about Spygate 2, which still has not had a ruling as far as punishment is concerned for the Patriots. Back here on NFL Sunday, Keith Fourier and Wiggy play a great game called Big Deal, Little Deal, No Deal for Spygate 2.
Was this a game or an exercise?
It's an exercise. Good point. No, it's an exercise. Wiggy's right. There's no winner or loser. It's an exercise. Spygate 2, Big Deal, Little Deal, No Deal.
I would say no deal.
Okay.
At all. Deal or no deal?
Deal or no deal?
No deal.
See, I think it's a little deal only in the sense that it is the Patriots and there's a chance they could get docked not just money, but maybe even a late round.
Well, but
draft
I
pick.
Think something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's a witch hunt.
Yeah, and I think it's I don't know if it's a witch hunt. I think
yeah,
they
I don't
did
think
it.
It's a witch hunt. I think
they made a mistake.
Yeah. It's just, it was too easy. Just put it on a tee. Right. Honestly, it's just, it
no
was
big
too
deal.
Easy. And the thing that was kind of funny to me, so the last time, you know, Deflategate, felt like it was direct attack on the players, right? So they all, like, kind of galvanized them. It brought them together. Like, hey, they think we win because we cheat. We'll show them. And so you saw it, man. You saw the proof on the field. They made everybody pay. This one, I was like, I don't think they're going to get anything out of this one.
Yeah, like there's no motivation here. There's no,
it's all fake. It has nothing to do with us. This is completely third-party type of deal. But unfortunately, I had people texting me. He's like, is this really a story? I'm like, it isn't, but here we are.
I know.
But I still feel like this because, see, I don't think it's no deal because of the fact that I believe it was a mistake that was made on oversight that the producer or whoever was in control of that overlooked this thing. But what I do believe and what I know to be true,
Ooh.
Let me reiterate that,
I heard you.
Is that the NFL is out, especially Goodell, to get the New England Patriots. Because here we are, Sunday morning, a couple hours before the game, and we still have no...
Oh, the fact that they're dragging their feet. Like, right, they didn't set them up because they set themselves up. They made
No. But they took this.
How do they not have a quick
turnaround? They took this and said,
I don't know.
Yeah.
They do this on everything, though.
No. Come on.
The first Spygate.
They do it on everything.
4 days.
4 days.
For the first Spygate.
When there was something actually that was there.
And a significant penalty, and they still turned that around in less than
this
a week.
This was... His?
Yeah, but that things are so different now with the league. I get it, but they don't do that anymore. They every issue that when they've come out quick with a quick decision, they've gotten burned on it. Not just the Patriots, but other off the field issues.
Yeah, but
with the players.
What
so
are we just, looking for
as
here?
A general rule, as a standard operating procedure, they take their time with everything.
This happened last Sunday. They got the video. What are we investigating here?
I think
what information though, because Goodell, because information, you got all the information out there.
My guess is he's going to all the other teams, all the other road games they played, or you know, not road games they played, but their next opponent. Mm-hmm. When the times that they sent scouts and they were asking if there was ever a camera crew there, that would not take very long.
But Jeff Howe in the Athletic said that this was the first time that a camera crew has ever traveled for a road game for the Patriots.
Right. And so they probably are just trying to confirm that.
Prove it.
Exactly.
I don't think that's hard to prove.
Well, I mean, you got to
Can you not see how many times the NFL has had egg on their face? Troy Vincent, especially going back to the first, to the Deflategate. Oh, we'll have this wrapped up. And like 18 months later, it was finally finished. Yeah. They just won't do it anymore.
Well, the Deflategate,
they've gotten together and said, as a PR strategy, as a standard operating procedure, guys, we are not going to give a deadline on anything. We are going to make sure everybody knows that we are going to be thorough. We're going to take our time. We're going to make sure we get all the facts. Even if we already have them, we have to give the illusion that we're still looking into it so people can't go, oh, God, you guys, you forced this out there so fast. No. Every situation is going to be slow, monotonous, and we'll release our information later when we feel like it, not when we're pressured. So I feel like it's just par for the course.
Yeah, but see, that's because they brainwashed you. See how they got them?
How did they brainwash them?
Because this is something that should have been wrapped up, and it should have been wrapped up.
Okay, but you're in imagination land. You legit think that you're dealing in the real world. You're not. Like, that's, I just sat there and told you. This is what they do. This is not reality. So I allowed myself to jump into imagination land.
Nice.
I kind of checked it out.
Yep.
I kind of looked at it. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool.
You
scary
can stay here. Stay here if you want. Yeah.
No. It's not a place you want to stay.
All right.
Because when you come out of it, you realize that the real world and real businesses do not act like this. It's freaking nuts the way they do this. You're right. It should be finished. Take it off the plate. Nothing to see here. I'm not going to allow myself to be pressured by a bunch of reporters or yahoos who are just jealous. But you know what? I've been burned before, so screw you. I'm taking my time.
Patriot Storylines are brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Let's go to the phones right now. We got Kyle in Springfield. He joins us next on NFL Sunday. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, I love your show. Listen to you guys every day.
Thanks.
Hey, just a couple questions. Did we get an update on if our offensive line is going to be healthy again this week? We getting Karras back? We getting Isaiah Wynn back? And just kind of wondering what you think the Patriots have to do to kind of get their running game going, whether it's incorporating Brandon Bolden more, because I feel like we come out in the first quarter and we run the ball for, you know, first drive, punt the ball away, and then we never run the ball again. And I just think we can be more efficient with it.
Yeah, that's definitely true against Houston. Thanks for the call. First of all, Isaiah Wynn missed practice on Thursday with an eye injury, but then he was a full participant on Friday, and he doesn't even have a game status. So Isaiah Wynn's going to play. Ted Karras was limited all week, and he is questionable. So you might get Ted Karras back. Isaiah Wynn, barring some crazy thing happening between now and game time, will play. But what do you guys think about getting the running game going? Is that even some what have you given up more on, N'Keal Harry, Wiggy, or the running game?
N'Keal Harry.
Okay.
Because I think at times you'll see the running game pop a couple runs here and there.
Yeah.
You know, at times you're like, oh, okay, that was a pretty good run. Right. We've seen him do it early against the Texans. I think maybe there might have been a couple runs, James White, where you go, oh, okay, a couple good runs they popped against the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe they'll be able to tie some things together. But I still think the running game, I'm not expecting a ton.
No.
But they're still going to try it.
And Forty, I know you've mentioned Brandon Bolden in the past. And I know that was more kind of goal line and short yardage stuff. But what about just overall? Would you give him more of a look?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think I would. Yeah. I would just have him on the field. He's the type of guy that he just always makes plays. He's just always making plays, and like he doesn't line up wrong after when they give him a special play. Like
simple
he scores.
As that. Yeah.
What a surprise. Yeah. Hey, we practice this. It's so freaking simple. He lines up right. But he's older, so I expect it. I think he'll probably be involved with more things. But I personally am not giving up on N'Keal. I don't think I have a choice. I don't feel
No, you probably don't.
I just don't. If you do, man, you're really just saying you're going to win this with what?
Yeah,
with what? If you give up on N'Keal Harry, you're winning how?
Smoke and mirrors and special teams and defense.
And I feel like they've used up all those.
I know. Can they keep
it's like
that going?
They've used them up. I don't know.
Now, Andy Hart has talked about and written about Damian Harris a lot. Now, I know that's just another rookie, but by all accounts, being a rookie running back, maybe a little bit easier to get going than a rookie wide receiver. Would you give him a shot at all, or do you think it's more of an offensive line issue anyway?
Well, I don't know, Wiggy. What do you think? I mean, if the guy's healthy and he's not getting on the field,
so
he needs to show up in practice, is that even possible?
Right. That's telling you something. If the guy's healthy and he's not playing, that means that he's not doing something in practice that the coaching staff goes, okay, this guy can contribute. This guy can do this. And when you think about that, they look and they go, all right, we're going to activate in what it looks like. We're always going to have – I want to say three running backs we know, right? Or is it four running backs? So wait, Sony Michel, James White,
Rex Burkhead,
and Brandon Bolden.
Yeah.
What do we know about Rex Burkhead and Brandon Bolden? Both of them play a ton of special
teams.
So now you got to say, where does Damian Harris fit? Can he give us more in special teams than we can get from Bolden or Rex Burkhead?
Yeah, the only guy he would probably take on the active roster would be Michel, but you're not there yet.
Right.
Right. So that's probably where his problem is. Let's go to Paul in South Boston. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how are you this morning?
Good.
How you doing, guys? Hey, Wiggy, I would just want to agree with you. I think they're going to play Edelman. I think they should. This is a game. Anything can happen in the NFL. We all know that, especially around playoff time. We all know they want the first pick and all that, and lose the game is their best option. But they're going to make the Patriots. They're going to make the Patriots earn this win. Edelman has to be there. It's like a scrimmage. I remember when I played hockey back in the day for South Boston High School.
Yeah.
You know, when we played garbage teams. I mean, we used it as an opportunity to better ourselves and pass the puck around.
But Paul, what if you were what if you were a little hurt? Would you sit that game out, or would you play?
No, I would definitely play. Okay. I mean, you guys said it to yourself. That's the type of injury that you deal with, and you deal with it at the end of the season. Yeah, I mean, he's a professional player. They need him on the offense. Wiggy's absolutely right. And, and back to what you were saying about Tanu and Harry, I would definitely put my money on Harry. I would invest in him. He's someone that needs to learn the playbook and get involved, and he can make some serious catches. I mean, we've seen what he did. We seen the officiating there was terrible when he got that other touchdown when he dove in, and the other spin one when he kept his feet in the ground in the end zone. I think definitely they're going to play Edelman, and they absolutely should. That's my opinion, and that's about it, guys.
All right, Paul, thanks for the phone call. And I think – you know, N'Keal Harry, again, very limited times throwing him the ball, but he has made a couple of plays.
Mm-hmm.
So to Fourier's point, it's almost like, all right, what else do you have? Now, again, a lot of it is going to be on him. And if you don't know where to line up, it's hard to just, you know, walk you through it. Like, hold your hand and walk you through an NFL game the entire time. Like, that's asking a lot of whether it's Brady or the other guys in the huddle
right.
or whatever it is.
And like, if you sit Edelman, that means you now have to – he has to get more reps.
Yeah. It'd be, yeah.
And so do you feel confident in that him getting more reps?
Yeah, I think, and maybe I'm just too positive a thinker. That might be what it is. But if you sit Edelman and you play Harry more long term, that could be a win-win scenario because Edelman's a little bit healthier next week and going forward, and N'Keal Harry gets a little bit more confidence and more here, part of the offense. And then that could be the formula to win games in the playoffs.
But see, here's where you miss. Here's where you got to – and the assessment world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Risk-reward.
Sure.
You know, that's it. The risk-reward assessment, right?
I'm
so you're
game.
Following me
I'm
here.
Following you.
What – when you look at the N'Keal Harry, is it a better risk or is there more reward there?
There's a reward. There's
no,
a pot of gold at the end
of
the rainbow.
But see, here's where the problem becomes.
Yeah.
If you don't know where to go, what that means is you run a route and you don't know where to go, and the quarterback throws the ball somewhere else,
yeah.
and that turns into an interception.
I still feel
bigger
like
risk
with that,
than there is reward with N'Keal Harry. So
no, the reward is he helps you in the playoffs. The risk is, yeah, you throw a pick today, but you're still able to overcome it because it's Cincinnati.
But see, now you have to be able to overcome that.
Well, you will. Your defense will allow you to. 617-779-7937, the number to jump aboard here on NFL Sunday as we're talking about the Pats. Bengals, specifically more the Pats, and how are they going to get their offense going?
Scoops. No.
Wait, what was that sound?
Where was going? Okay, I want to throw some numbers at you guys when we come back.
Okay, great.
I'm going to throw some numbers at you. I actually did some research.
All right.
And I want to use it.
Because not like good old research.
You got some research. I also have a good trivia question for you.
It
relates to tight ends, too. It's right up your guys' alley.
Ooh.
So we have trivia. We have research numbers. And Tommy Kern will join us at 11:30. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, back here on NFL Sunday, Keith Fourier and Wiggy. Before we get to Fourier's numbers and my trivia question, Jason Lock-Canfor writing for CBS Sports. Patriots facing significant penalties for illegally taping Bengals during Week 14 game versus Browns. He says, this is according to a league source. The Pats are facing steep penalties for their admitted illegal taping of the Bengals sideline last week, which is likely to include the loss of at least one draft pick and heavy fines. Now, Mike Florio is reporting heavy fines and not the draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, we still don't know for sure yet. And it's just sort of a waiting game. But I think, again, because it's the Patriots, I wouldn't be surprised if a late-round pick, even though it was a mistake, even though I think most rational people understand that it was a mistake and this was not orchestrated by Bill Belichick or Ernie Adams or anything like that, you still can't get caught doing it, right? You do something wrong,
right?
But you didn't mean to do it. You still did it. You still did something wrong.
Right. That's why I said, you know what? They should come out and say, "Here's what we found.
Right.
Here's what's on the tapes for everybody to see." Now they know that exactly what the Patriots were taping. If it really was a benefit, because you'll be able to look at those tapes and go, "Okay, were they following coaches up and down the sidelines? Were they maybe shooting the scoreboard or down in distance at times?" Stuff. And you'll be able to see it, but now, the NFL will drag its feet.
Lockhead Fora also says there is the possibility of a suspension for a member of upper management and or ownership as well. Pending the results of the NFL's full investigation into the matter. Can you imagine if Robert Kraft got suspended for this and not for that?
Unbelievable.
When have we ever seen
this? This is like getting the mobster on tax evasion.
Exactly. Be like, we hate you so much, and we know this is stupid, but this is all we can prove.
Yeah, it's all we got on you. We got you, Al Capone. Yeah, we got you on tax evasion. Yeah. Forget about all the people you killed.
It's got nothing to do with that. I mean, Jim Irsay got suspended.
Okay.
And did Bounty Gate, did they suspend the owner of the Saints, or was it just the GM and coach? I forget, but either way, I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about there. But so I guess we'll just wait and see, as will the team. But obviously they're pissed at what's going on there. Again, just
but who knows if like Christian said, if the NFL do what they normally do, we not going to hear about this for another 2 years.
They're going to lose a 2020 seventh round pick.
It's like it'll be some weird Friday news dump. And oh, by the way. You know, and
actually,
this is 2022.
Think about, next year's 2020.
So Ordway had this whole thing about this whole theory about Antonio Brown and the first anniversary of the NFL. Mm. When I think about it, first of all, I don't agree with him at all. But think about what the Patriots have had just alone with Robert Kraft first, that whole thing. Then you got Antonio Brown. Then you got this. Just alone, the Patriots have contributed to three of the biggest stories in the NFL.
Oh yeah,
right.
On their own.
Oh, yeah.
So this whole 100-year anniversary, let's try and control it.
That thing's been long gone a long time ago, the whole 100-year anniversary.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, with the whole Antonio Brown thing, and you think about the Miles Garrett situation. So that thing has been
gone. Oh, that was a big one. Have they done the wide receivers yet? Hey, John, do you know if they've done the –
they haven't done the wide receivers.
Top 100, yet. Like the finalists?
They just did the tight ends.
Antonio Brown should be a finalist.
Yeah.
He should be. I'm not saying he's going to be one of the 10 guys or however many they take, but he should be on that list, and I wonder if they purposely leave him off.
Who knows? With Antonio Brown, the guy's just like, hey, listen, is somebody going to give me an answer? You see what he's been tweeting over the weekend. It's just like, can I get an answer? Can I get something?
Yeah, no, he's not.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to make this decision.
For you, you promised some numbers.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. Do you have those?
Yes, of course I did.
I don't know.
So here's what happened. So I heard Mike Reese. You know, I took a deep dive into how bad this offense really is and what the real reason is. Because Reese tweeted this out, I think, on Friday when he was on a Get Up or Get Down. He said the Patriots haven't scored 30 points in 6 straight games, one shy of tying the longest streak in a single season in the Bill Belichick Tom Brady era. So then it says most consecutive games without scoring 30-plus points, Patriots since 2001. In 05, it was 7. 02, it was 7. 19, right now, it was 6. And right now, they could tie it if they don't score 30-plus points.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, why is that? Why? I mean, I knew that they couldn't finish. I knew that their red zone production was so bad, but I wanted to try and figure out how bad it really was. So I started just looking at numbers. And so, first of all, the Patriots are have the second most red zone attempts per game in the NFL.
Wow.
So they get down to the red zone and have multiple opportunities to score more than anybody other than one team. And that one team is the Baltimore Ravens. Not surprising. Okay. So to me, I was like, all right, well, great. They get down there, but they suck at finishing. Because then I said, all right, well, how bad are they really when it comes to finishing? And then these are TDs only. It has nothing to do with field goals.
Yeah, they rank 27th, right?
They're 27th in the NFL. So they have a 48% red zone scoring percentage. So not they get down there a ton. That's how bad they are.
Right.
So when you think, and then Baltimore's number two at 68%. So I let me look at Tennessee. Tennessee is 70 is a 70 has a 73% red zone scoring percentage. They are number one in the NFL,
Tannehill.
But they're middle of the road when it comes to their chances. They're number 23, almost not even middle of the road.
Right.
So it's not Derek only yeah. They get yeah. Well, think about it. What are they good at? Running the football, right. Play action pass, and all the things the Patriots can't do. What is Baltimore good at? Running the football, play action pass. And I remember talking to Bill maybe 3 weeks ago. I said, what is the best thing? What is the one thing you need to do as to be good in the red zone? We got to run the ball. And then you got to run play action. And they can't do that because they can't run the ball. So it was neat to see. It was just, I guess, I don't know. I knew I was right. Mm-hmm. But it was just so bad when you look at the numbers. And it's just because they can't score. Right. And all these other teams are so much. So then how does it change? Are they going to suddenly be able to run the football? No. I don't think so.
Well, it does seem like, you know, last week was a good example of how do they move the ball. Forget the red zone for a minute. How they move the ball is drawing pass interference penalties and
yeah.
trick plays.
Right.
So you get into the red zone. All right. You can draw as many pass interferences as you want. They're not going to give you points for that. You still need to get the ball. You know, you might get down to the one, but you still need to find a way to punch that through. Is there trick plays that they can run in the red zone?
It's tough
or
with
what?
The trickery in the red zone. And, right. and just to add a few numbers on to Christian's numbers
Ooh.
Here, you like
God,
that little
numbers.
A little add-on numbers.
Tsunami.
He had said they're 48% in the red zone this year versus last year they were 63% and they were ranked 12th. In the NFL and being able to score in the red zone. And it comes down to what we've all talked about. Think about how we used to say this all the time about the Patriots defense. Hey, team, when they weren't very good, teams could move the ball on them between the 20s. But when they got into the red zone,
right, they're tough.
They did a good job. And what do we say about the offense? If you wanted to be able to beat the New England Patriots, you had to score touchdowns. Field goals wouldn't work because offensively the Patriots were scoring touchdowns. Now the Pats get inside the 20. And to Christian's point, last week they're in the red zone three times and they come away with one touchdown. So they're 1-for-3. Their inability to score in the red zone is not changing because, A, you don't have that guy in Gronkowski that you could say, all right, we can line him up out wide. We could send him down the seam. We could do a couple things with him. And you can't run the football, which maybe like the Tennessee Titans can just pound it in with Derrick Henry, or it opens up play action. So now you need like Matt LaCosse to run down the seam in the red zone and get open, which he can't. And trickery is hard to use in the red zone because you need more space.
Right, exactly.
Now, which is, and I think what's even worse is when you really think about it, because when we started talking about this on Friday, like a deeper dive is, okay, so – they're in the red zone. They have the second most red zone opportunities in the NFL. How many of those red zone opportunities did they create on their own? And how many of those were gifted by the defense?
Defense or special teams, yeah.
Yeah, defense or special teams have just gifted them multiple opportunities. And I would say, I didn't do these numbers, but I would say it feels like it's 50-50. You know, they and then when they do, think about last week, their first opening drive, two pass interference penalties and a trick play to score. That's how they do it. It's pathetic.
Exactly.
They're so bad offensively. I don't even know what to say. They're just pathetically bad. They're terrible.
The 2015 Denver Broncos offense, without even looking at the numbers, just knowing that was the year that Peyton Manning had more picks than touchdowns, it was just a mess there. Weren't they worse? I mean, I know they had a couple of playmakers. They had Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, but they didn't run the ball all that well. Their quarterback was absolutely toast. And they still won it. Like, is that sort of the model that they have to have now? Like, their defense needs to legit win the game?
Yeah, but that was the – you got to understand, right?
Yeah.
That was the perfect setup for them. Because remember, who do they play in the Super Bowl?
The
Carolina Panthers, right?
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers weren't really built about scoring. You know, like, they weren't throwing the ball all over the place.
No.
They were a team
Cam
that –
Cam Newton was a monster.
He was the MVP.
Right, but it was more kind of what Lamar Jackson's doing, right?
No, not to that
Not
level.
Nearly as much.
No. I'm saying as far as the offense. The offense was kind of similar, like a read option. Cam used his legs. You know, he threw when he had to throw, but the point
but he threw for 3,800 yards.
Right, but the point I'm trying to make was
forget about that. The point I'm trying to make is
forget about that. The point, he threw 35 touchdowns.
Right, but the point I'm trying to make is that if you slowed that offense down, if you took Cam out of the game, you were able, they weren't this big passing team where they could just spread you out and throw the ball all over the place. So the Denver Broncos were able to slow them down in that Super Bowl.
Yeah,
by basic.
But still, they won the whole thing with a quarterback who's worse than whatever you think of Brady.
Also,
he's worse.
If I could just add to that, so even the championship game, the Broncos got up quick.
Yeah,
I remember Jamie Collins got beat on a double move.
Oh,
I think by Owen Daniels. And then I think it was like 14-0, if my memory serves me correctly. Then their defense just played, you know,
yeah, true,
complimentary football. That's it. They were going to score a bunch of points. You knew it.
True,
but their defense was so good that they had a cushion, and all they needed to do was protect it.
That game was 24-10.
With the Super Bowl you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The Denver Super Bowl.
I know. That was not a pretty Super Bowl. You can join us here, 617-779-7937, getting you set for Patriots and Bengals. Week 15 matchup here. We'll have inactives and Tom E. Kern coming up at 11:30. It will go around the NFL at noon. This is NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price, Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.